Good day, and welcome to the Border Patrol Detention Conditions Program. Currently, all phone lines are in a listen-only mode. Later, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions during a question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Please be advised today's program may be recorded. It is now my pleasure to turn the program over to Ms. Mary Kenney, Directing Attorney, Litigation for the American Immigration Council. You may begin.
Thank you. So as indicated, my name is Mary Kenney, and I'm one of the attorneys on the team in the case Doe v. Wolf. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background about the case, and then I will turn it over to some of my colleagues to talk about the trial that has just culminated after a week and a half. Staff from several nonprofits first began hearing of complaints about conditions in Border Patrol holding facilities in 2014. And we investigated those reports, spoke with over 100 formerly detained individuals, all of whom gave consistent statements about really horrific conditions in these facilities. And in June of 2015, three very brave individuals came forward and agreed to serve as plaintiffs, and we filed a lawsuit on behalf of a class of individuals who are detained in the Border Patrol facilities within the Tucson sector, and the Tucson sector includes the majority of Arizona. It's the Tucson sector of the U.S. Border Patrol. Counsel in the case include my office, the American Immigration Council, the National Immigration Law Center, the ACLU of Arizona, and the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights of San Francisco of the Bay Area. Those are the nonprofit partners. In addition, a very important player in the case is the law firm of Morrison and Forrester, and you'll be hearing later from a representative of each of those organizations. Two events along the way. So we filed suit in June of 2015, and the trial just took place. So it's been 4 years of our collecting evidence and preparing for trial. Two very important events occurred during those 4 years. The first was that the court, Judge Burry, certified a class of individuals, which includes all individuals who are detained in one of the eight Border Patrol stations within the Border Patrol's Tucson sector. That was the first important ruling that we received. Subsequently, in November of 2016, Judge Burry granted a preliminary injunction, which gave partial relief to class members for the remainder of the case through trial. And that gave individuals some relief from the conditions, but not a permanent solution to the problem. And that's why we still went to trial this past week. So I'm going to turn it over now to Alvaro Huerta from the National Immigration Law Center, staff attorney with the National Immigration Law Center, who will tell us a little more about the impact that the conditions have had on individuals, including our plaintiffs.
Thank you, Mary. So for decades, as Mary said, we've heard countless accounts from people detained by Border Patrol about being kept in cold, overcrowded cells with no access to beds and inadequate means to stay warm, clean, healthy, and nourished. Through this case, we've been able to shed light on these accounts and put into evidence before the court the severe impact that the way that CBP, Customs and Border Patrol, operates has on people in its custody, both during and after detention. And so at the heart of the matter are issues of basic human dignity. As the judge aptly reminded the courtroom at the outset of this trial, this case is fundamentally about how we as a country treat people and what consequences that treatment has in their lives. We stand firmly in our belief that all people should be treated humanely and with dignity and not detained in conditions that put their health and safety at risk and which violate their basic human dignity. Unfortunately, we know that in the Tucson sector, that is not currently the case, nor has it been for a long time. We heard from two witnesses who were detained by Border Patrol in the Tucson sector throughout the course of this trial. We heard from them. Witness A, who was one of the plaintiffs who brought this case in 2015, remembers 4.5 years later, and in fact, it's more about what you can't forget, right? That the freezing temperatures, the lights on at all time, not being able to tell night from day, the inability to sleep, the anxiety and the fear that she felt. And witness B, a woman who was pregnant, 7 weeks pregnant at the time, had to sleep near a toilet stall in overcrowded conditions and only received medical care after days of vomiting. She wasn't seen by a doctor until days later. No pregnant woman should have to lay on a filthy, crowded concrete floor next to a bathroom stall as she experiences morning sickness. No person should have to feel fear after leaving horrible conditions in their own country, come to our country and feel this anxiety and fear and not be able to get a decent night's sleep. The absence of these basic necessities illustrates larger, long-standing problems with CBP that have only been made worse by inhumane and harmful immigration policies, and we must put a stop to it. We are better than this. We must demand that our government treat people under its care with the dignity and respect that all human beings deserve. I'm now going to turn the microphone over to Bree Bernwanger of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights of the San Francisco Bay Area, senior staff attorney there.
Hi there. Thanks so much for joining. I'm going to talk a little bit about the evidence that came out at the trial over the past week and a half. The evidence that came out at this trial has shown what we have known from our clients and our class members for years, that Border Patrol detention in the Tucson sector deprives people of their basic human needs. In particular, in this case, we challenge deprivations of sleep, deprivations of warmth, deprivations of food and water, deprivations of hygiene and the ability to maintain personal hygiene, and deprivations of adequate medical screening and care. And the testimony that Alvaro described from our clients and our class members, describing disgusting and dehumanizing conditions that they endured for days on end in custody in the Tucson sector, is not the exception, but is the rule. Data at trial showed that despite Border Patrol's bare assertions that they do not do long-term detention, and their own internal guidelines setting a 12-hour expectation for processing and detention and a 72-hour outer limit, the detention times in Border Patrol custody in Tucson have been getting longer and longer and more crowded since we filed. Our own expert witnesses, including Eldon Vail, who worked for decades in the Washington State prison system, describes the conditions in Border Patrol custody in the Tucson sector as far inferior to what he had ever seen in a jail or prison setting. They are far beneath the standards that other immigration agencies set for detention conditions and are far beneath the standards that Border Patrol itself has set. But most importantly, the evidence has shown that they are far beneath the constitutional standard that applies to every setting of civil confinement in this country. Importantly, the evidence also showed that there's simply no justification for these conditions. Border Patrol said that providing the opportunity to sleep, providing adequate warmth for our clients, providing nutritionally adequate food and water, providing medical screening and timely care by a medically qualified professional, and providing a means to shower, clean oneself, and a sanitary environment would not impair any of their processing, any of their operational mission. It's simply unjustifiable that our clients are sleeping in bathroom stalls without showering for days on end, vomiting for days without receiving medical care, and shivering through the night. I'd like to pass the mic now to Yvette Borja, a staff attorney at the ACLU of Arizona, to talk a little bit more about the government interest at issue here and how it simply does not justify the facts that we've shown at trial in terms of our client's treatment.
Great. Thank you, Bree. Throughout trial, Border Patrol has tried to claim that the agency is not in the business of detention, while also conceding that detainees, including infant-age children, are regularly incarcerated for multiple days while sleeping in cold holding rooms on the floor. As Bree was just mentioning, one of plaintiff's expert witnesses, Mr. Vail, has run correctional and civil commitment facilities and advised prison and jail systems across the country. And he stated that he had never seen worse conditions than what he witnessed in touring Tucson Sector Border Patrol facilities. I emphasize this because Mr. Vail's testimony was shocking, considering that migrant civil detention is not intended to be punishment, and is rather a means to efficiently process migrants as they begin their immigration proceedings. Multiple videos, photo stills, and detailed charts from plaintiff's expert, Mr. Meesh, show the extent and the consistency of overcrowding, a fact that Border Patrol cannot deny. Video footage of the Tucson Border Patrol station showed plaintiff Ms. B's horrific experience, needing to sleep next to a toilet in order to fully lay down and rest for the night. While Border Patrol has pointed to the lack of ICE and ORR bed space as an explanation for increased crowding, it cannot shirk its constitutional obligations and must respect the due process rights of migrants who are in the agency's custody. Border Patrol has the discretion as an agency to lessen overcrowding through releasing individuals on their own recognizance to sponsors or to local nonprofit shelters. And as such, it is inaccurate to claim the agency has limited autonomy in this respect. While Border Patrol attempted to paint a picture of itself at trial as a cash-strapped agency, its 2019 operating budget of over $4.7 billion raises questions in response to the idea that the agency lacks funding to improve conditions. Regardless of intent and desire, Border Patrol is indeed in the business of detention and must find solutions to lessen crowding, improve medical screening procedures, improve the nutritional quality of food, regulate room temperatures, and ensure that people are not tortured for days without sleep. I'm now turning over the mic to Colette Mayer, who is trial counsel from Morrison and Forrester, to talk about what we believe the actions the court should take in response to this case.
Thank you. So the remedy we've sought in this case has always been to have the Border Patrol bring itself into compliance with the due process requirements guaranteed to these people under the Constitution. There's a couple of points of reference that can be looked to see what the appropriate remedy should be in this case. One is the ICE detention facilities where people are transferred routinely after they leave the Border Patrol stations. As the courts have routinely acknowledged, your place of purgatory can't be worse than hell. And therefore, you cannot be held in conditions that are worse than the conditions you would be held in if you were adjudicated to actually, you know, have committed the wrong that you're being held for. The other place that we look to are the jails where criminally detained people are held. And the evidence was significant in this case that the conditions in the jails are better than the conditions in the Border Patrol stations. And that's because in jails you have beds, you have the ability to keep warm, you have warm meals, you have the access to showers. And so what we asked Judge Burry to do in this case was not to try to tell the Border Patrol exactly how they have to accomplish coming into compliance with the Constitution, but to tell them that they need to comply with the Constitution and to set constitutional minimums that they need to comply with and do it within a period of time that to allow for the compliance. We don't yet know what Judge Burry will do in this situation, but our significant asks in this case were that the constitutional minimums of provision of beds after a certain amount of time in detention be provided so that people can sleep. A diet approved by a nutritionist be provided to people, as opposed to the diet of burritos and crackers that has been done for convenience for years. That people be guaranteed the ability to keep warm and keep clean through showers. So those are the things that we've asked the court for and the things that we think the Constitution requires here. Alvaro, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Colette. And thank you to Mary, Yvette, and Bree as well for their comments. At this point, we'll turn the call over back to Aaron, our moderator, to open the line for questions. Aaron?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star, then one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Again, it is star, then one to ask a question, and we'll pause to allow questions to queue. Again, that is star, then one. And we will go first to Angelina Chapin with the Huffington Post. Your line is open.
Hi there. Thank you for doing the call. I just have a very simple question. When do you think the judge will be making a ruling on this case?
This is Colette. I can take this one. He told us at the end of court today that he doesn't yet know, but the timeline he set out there was, he said it may be by the end of next week, it may be in a couple weeks. So we're hoping it will be within the next few weeks, but we don't know for sure.
But the trial's over?
Yes.
Okay.
Once again, it is star then one to ask a question. We'll pause for any additional questions. Our next question comes from Hannah Pritchfield with Phoenix New Times. Your line is open.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Sure. I guess I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the judge's closing statements and what that was like, what was said. Can you characterize it a bit?
I'll start. This is Alvaro, and then if anybody else wants to jump in. The judge didn't say very much at the end, I'll say, but what he did say throughout and his questions as he was asking both sides during their closing statements was, what should he do about this, and why should it require a court order? Shouldn't there be something that Border Patrol is already doing? They recognize that there are deficiencies here, that there are requirements that are imposed on the Border Patrol, for example, not holding folks more than 72 hours. And I think he did express some frustration that it would require a court order to make Border Patrol do what they should be doing anyway. Does anybody want to add anything to that?
I'll add, this is Colette. I think he also, he asked questions of the government and the government's witnesses throughout the trial about whether, don't they agree that people should be entitled, or that people should not be forced to sleep on the floor for long periods of time? And the days that he was indicating was, 2 days, 3 days, that there's some amount of time after which people should be entitled to kind of basic human dignities. I think the other point is that he acknowledged that the Border Patrol has a very complicated mission, and he acknowledged that he thinks they're doing a good job under the conditions that they have right now. But obviously they are not able to to break this cycle of holding people longer and longer. And that's to the point that Alvaro was just making, that he recognized that some court order may be necessary here.
Got it. Thank you.
Again, it is star then one to ask a question. We'll pause for additional questions to queue. Please press star then one to ask your question today.
Thank you, Aaron. If there are no further questions, we just wanted to thank everybody who participated today. And Juan, if you're on the line, if you'd like to say if there's some way to reach any of the speakers, if folks would like to talk to anyone individually, perhaps there's a central number or email we can share. Okay, maybe not, but you can reach out to some of us. Sorry, go ahead.
And Juan, your line is open if you'd like to respond.
Great, thank you. Just for folks, if you have any additional questions, you have contact information for the American Immigration Council, the National Immigration Law Center, and the ACLU of Arizona in the advisory for this call. Feel free to reach out to any of us, and we can connect you with any of the attorneys who you heard from today.
Thank you, Juan, and thank you again, everybody, for participating and for being on today.